the championship pops up, the rivals will be hoping that their title charges aren't parked at Donington. It's the Donington Park preview.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again for Donington GP, the long version this time.
The circuit, not the podcast.
Yes, yeah. Hopefully a fairly nice short preview for you. We've already been to Donington once this year, so I don't think there'll be too much extra to discuss, apart from the big breaking news story that has come out today.
Yeah, the big news story going into the weekend is that Ronan Pearson has pierced his contract with Accelerate. Him and Accelerate have parted ways. Ronan is going to be sitting out the rest of the 2024 season. He has got plans, it would appear, to try and be back in some way, shape or form in racing in 2025, whether that's in touring cars or another discipline. We'll await to see. It's a mutual amicable agreement, which means that it's not, because there's never been whatever people say it's
nothing's amicable.
No. Me and the girlfriend, we broke up. It was an amicable decision. We remained friends. No. Yeah, I think that reading between some of the lines from the posts we've seen on social media, before Knockhill weekend as well, I think some of this will boil down to finance. I think some of it will also boil down to performance on both sides. Pearson has been critical of the car at times this year, or frustrated the car at least this year. And he hasn't really been able to hit the heights that he was able to get to at the start of the season. Performances on his side certainly have dropped as the season has gone on, in my view. It is, however, sad to lose a young driver from the championship, a race winner, a Jack Sears contender for this season. I don't think we've necessarily seen the last of him in the touring cars, but
I hope not. I really hope not.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise coming to this weekend, and a stark reminder that this is a very expensive sport, and it's difficult to maintain.
It is. There was said to be further backing coming from Accelerate for the Knockhill weekend specifically. I do wonder.
I think it was in the post, but they're not going to announce it going into Knockhill because there would have been a riot in Fife.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think that was a little token you can come for this weekend, being your home weekend, and then we're going to have to look into things a little bit deeper. The fact that he's thanked his sponsors and seems to be keeping a lot of his sponsors on board going forward would suggest that money isn't the only issue that may be there. Although, unfortunately, in this day and age, money is going to be a huge issue when it gets to towards the end of the season, normally, and staying on and keeping on the grid. As you say, there have been plenty of mechanical issues along the way, and I'm sure repair bills have probably been a little higher than maybe expected. But yeah, we're missing out on a Jack Sears contender for the rest of the season.
Well, potentially.
Potentially.
Depends who they fill the seat with. So Accelerate have confirmed they will be filling the seat, certainly for the Donington weekend.
Yep.
Whether it stretches into Silverstone and Brands Hatch, we shall have to see.
Speculate below now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's three viable candidates for me.
Okay.
It'll be Dan Zelos, who regularly stood, that made me very happy indeed. It will be James Gornall, who stood in for them before.
Yep.
Was it 2 years ago? It was a cross, wasn't it? 2 years ago. Or, in my view, it'd be Bobby Thompson. I think he's the less likely of the three because I get the feeling WSR and him are trying to get something together for next year. And whilst this might be a chance to Accelerate to poach Thompson for potentially to get on board for next season, I think that he sits more with WSR as a project for next year, personally.
I think he probably does. We're still very much in the dark as to what has happened and why what has happened to Thompson from earlier in the season, only being at the Snetterton round. There are theories going around on social media, shall we say.
Project Zeus was unworkable.
Yes. But it would be really nice to see him back on the grid. He obviously deserves to be there.
Yeah, I agree.
Potential and on ability. But is it going to be one of those Accelerate drivers from the programme that's going to get that little boost? We know that Dan Zelos has already clinched that mini title.
Also, minis aren't with him this weekend.
No, exactly.
And he is their reserve driver, isn't he? So for me, it will be Dan Zelos. I think, just touch back on Bobby, I think Lydia Walmsley is more likely than Bobby. Why'd they go outside of the Accelerate programme? I don't see it. Why go outside the programme when you've got these people on the rostrum already for these sort of situations?
It would certainly be a hell of an opportunity for Dan if he was to be granted the seat for this weekend. I don't know how much money a certain driver would need to bring as part of the package for a single weekend or weekends going forward.
And one of his biggest, I think, barriers into the sport is that his main sponsor is a tyre brand, and obviously What yep. with there already being a tyre brand in the touring cars, yep. I would be surprised if they can both be together.
Yeah, it's a really difficult situation, yeah. and it's unfortunate that that is his biggest sponsor, because I think if it was something else that didn't clash with another sponsor, especially on the car as well, then he might have had a seat from the start of the season anyway. But yeah, let us know your thoughts on who you think would or should fill the role, who you would like to see, and maybe your dream driver to come in for that possible one weekend only.
I can't wait for the, oh, Andrew Jordan would be good, or the, oh, do you think Jason Plato, Matt Neal might do it? Move on.
Don't move forget, on. Dynamics and Accelerate are and in bed with each other.
Well, on that point, the other bit of news that's come out ahead of this weekend's action is that Accelerate are open to expanding for next year.
Yes.
Which I think you've, and you quite, I think, potentially rightly pointed out, that might very well be a revival of the Team Dynamics as a customer team or a satellite team, or...
It would be a really interesting, if you pardon the pun, dynamic, to have them possibly run as a separate team but sharing data and stuff like that. I don't know whether there are still the staff and personnel from Dynamics. Obviously, it's a couple of years now since they were on the grid as a full team. So they may have been spread far and wide throughout the other teams that have come to the grid. But yeah, that possibility the Accelerate want to expand even further... Do you see it as a good thing for the sport, or would you like more variability on the amount of teams?
It's difficult, so I want more cars on the grid. Yeah. Although I don't think this 20-car grid has been as disastrous as I thought it might be at the start of the year. That said, I don't really want six of the same car. If they were to come, I'd prefer them to run a different car than have a, you know, six Hyundais on the grid. I do think we've not got enough varieties at the moment, because each week of it's the BMWs versus the Hyundais versus the Fords, and there'll be a Toyota in there or Vauxhall for good measure. But that's basically it.
Yeah.
And you've got the Cooper sort of running about the back, which, you know. So I'd like to see a bit more variety, but obviously it costs money to bring a car to the grid.
And if it does.
It's probably cheaper for them to build two more chassis under the Hyundai model than it would be to bring, for argument's sake, the new Civic shape forward, or...
However, there are still a couple or three Cupras out there that are probably available in some form, but we've seen their performance isn't brilliant.
Probably only two, because don't forget that Unlimited Motorsport want to go to a two-car
team. That's true,
And you'd imagine they'd keep the Cupra.
Yeah. I do wonder whether you could possibly integrate Cupra with Hyundai-built engines. We know how strong that engine is. I wonder whether you get a nice different dynamic there.
Dynamic again. I'm not a huge... I don't like customer teams in F1. I don't really like customer teams. I want the team to be able to kind of build everything themselves.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gunter.
We do have stock Toka engines.
We do, and I'm sorry, Gunter, but I hate the whole concept of Haas, that they basically just build with bare minimum, just buy everything else off Ferrari. I don't like it. And the Haas aren't the only one in F1 to do that, but... I don't like it. I'd rather the variety. If you build a crap car, it's up to you to fix it rather than just go, oh, it's crap because we've got the Mercedes engine in. The Mercedes engine's rubbish this year. Well, build your own bloody engine then. Rather than blame everybody else, build your own.
Change your something car, I think, comes to mind, doesn't it?
Alonso moaning on for how many years about how poor the Honda engine was. Well, build your own engine. You're a McLaren.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, that's for the F1 podcast with Matt and Tommy, if they ever want us to come and wax lyrical about our views on that. In terms of this, I want to see... I know it's different because there's a lot less money in the touring cars, but if a team enters, I want to see them build their own car as far as possible rather than just take custom bits from other teams personally.
Well, that's pretty much all the news rounded up. Shall we get into the meat of the pod now and get into Donington GP as a circuit?
Yep, so 12 corners, 2.49 miles, debuted in 1986. Would you like to guess the qualifying lap record?
Now, I'm going to assume it's from last year because we haven't been there for so much time.
Yes, correct.
But can I remember who was on pole last year? I can't, actually. Was it Ingram?
No.
Okay.
It was Ash Sutton with a 1 minute 33.1.
Of course it was. Ash was on pole everywhere.
except for Silverstone. Good knowledge from the British Touring Car co-host there. And finally, the race lap record was set by...
Hill?
No.
Sutton?
No.
Ingram.
Correct.
Hey.
A 1 minute 34.2. So one of the bigger discrepancies we've seen between qualifying and race trim.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. This is the first time back last year since 2002 for that particular circuit. A reminder of what happened last year.
Did you enjoy it last year? We went. and it, you hadn't seen the long circuit before, had
you? Well, I had seen it.
No, okay, you hadn't been to a meeting.
I went round this, walking around, where am I?
You hadn't been to a touring car meeting for the long circuit before.
No.
Did you think it adds? Do you think it takes away? What are your views?
Last year, I thought it took away insofar as, obviously, it was new to everybody on the grid. I don't think anybody had driven it before. Had anybody?
Chilton might have.
It was 2004, his debut, wasn't it? I don't remember. Anyway, it was if there were any drivers on the grid who had driven it, there were few and far between.
Yeah.
I think that, particularly race one and two, it was very tiptoey around there while they got used to it in race trim. Obviously, it does mean that you lose the final chicane. The final chicane's lost some of its excitement in recent years anyway, but by the fact they've decided they want to build, they might just put concrete towers there to block off the chicane of as much equipment and furniture as they possibly can. This year, I think it'll be slightly different because I think that obviously everyone or most people on the grid experienced it last year and will be a bit more up to the sort of stuff you can do there. By race three, we did see a lot more action into that part of the circuit.
Yeah.
Robottom had a tyre explosion.
I mean, there are loads of people last year that lost their front lights on those tyre bundles going through the chicane. Obviously, it goes the opposite way to the national circuit. I hope we don't see as much damage this year because at times I think it can spoil the race, especially with how they're going to use the meatball flag this year.
Yeah.
Drivers need to be a little bit more careful, I think, and a bit more wary because it could really cost them their weekend if it happens in race one or race two.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What's your views on the longer circuit?
I quite enjoy it. I think
you like Le Mans style. It's a very Le Mans endurancey style thing to have, and you like
it. Brings
that.
In more areas for overtaking. You've got two hairpins now, which are overtaking places. Some people make the most of them, some people don't. I just think it adds that extra little bit, and it's a decent viewing area as well.
It is a decent viewing area, and Donington is good for overtaking generally, but it does add an extra component into it. I think my only complaint about it is that it's quite boring either side of the hairpin. It's a run to it and a run out of it.
Yeah.
So you get to the far hairpin. It's just two straight lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
That bit's quite boring.
Okay.
The corners can be quite exciting. And last year, I think we saw some quite kamikaze driving at times through those areas, which was interesting. Quite a few biff points, as you say, that can happen there. So, yeah, that I think this year will be much more interesting than last year. Yeah, I do. A reminder of last year, then, obviously, Sutton took pole.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Race one was won by Sutton from Hill from Ingram. Race two was won by Ingram from Sutton from Hill, so in the same podium, different order. And then race three was quite exciting. Butcher from Anthony Smith from Morgan. Dan Lloyd would have won that.
Dan Lloyd blowout.
Was it dry shaft popping out?
Dry shaft or toe link.
It was a toe link, wasn't it?
Sent him off into the gravel at Coppice with, what, a lap and a half to go?
Half a lap, wasn't it? It was the final lap, wasn't it?
It was ridiculous. He should have won that race and you never know. It may have been enough to keep him on the grid for this year.
Because I like to do research, I know you're allergic to it, so I've done a little bit of research
to fly with the times.
To try and keep the pod sounding knowledgeable. In terms of title rivals, then Sutton last time out here got a 1-2 and a 5. Mm-hmm. Hill a 2-3-8. Ingram a 3-1-7. Cook, you refused to write off, he was a 7th or 5th in retirement. Turkington, who refused to write off, was a 5th or 4th and a 6th. And Camish, who refused to write off, was non-contested. He withdrew this weekend because he had a massive crash in qualifying, which completely smashed the chassis.
He doesn't do well at Donington, does he? He doesn't have any luck at Donington, should I say.
You're absolutely right, because in 2022, albeit that we didn't come to this part of it, but I've 10 results for the other part.
Yep.
Sutton, 4-6-2. Hill, an exclusion, he had one. 9, first. Ingram, 1-2-5. Cook, 8-5-3. Turkington 2-14-8, Camish 16-21-13. Yeah, so he's not had the greatest of times in this particular area. And, I mean, you refusing to draw anybody out. I mean, you'll be telling me that Mikey Doble can win it still. Or, you know, I mean, are you ruling out Pearson now? He's finished and left for the season. Are you ruling him out, yeah?
All I'm going to say is we haven't got the same Sutton that we had last year. Whether that's down to the car or down to his driving, he's not at that same level for me.
No, but he's still
there or thereabouts.
He's still closer than people you're refusing to
ride. But the more I think about it, as we go forward, I think it's going to be down to Hill and Ingram.
Okay. I wouldn't disagree, but I'm also saying that Turkington, Cook and Cambridge are completely out of this and you will not have it. That's my point.
I think I'm after this weekend, we could well be down to three.
After Brands Hatch, I think we'll be able to say for sure. I mean, yeah.
Keeping the hype there.
There is no hype. As I keep saying, people are going to be bored of hearing this go down to the Zelos board as well. You've not only got to keep beating these guys on the road to get the big points, you've also got to hope they don't do very well, and that doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't.
And that's the big problem. I cannot see how Turkington, Cambridge and Cook get enough of a swing to get themselves back in this fight. They're too far back. They're all... Well, let's remind ourselves, shall we?
Stranger things have happened. I think the gap between all of them is about 75 points now, which I agree is a very huge margin with only 3 rounds, 9 races left of the season. But we have seen funny things happen.
We have, but we look at the drivers. Ingram leads the way. He's on 2.78, which gives him a 3-point gap over Hill on 2.75. Yep. Sutton on 2.58 is 15 points, roughly. No, 20 points. It's obvious, actually. 20 points back. Cambridge on 2.36. Now, that makes him 42 points back, which, bear in mind, you can only score 66 in a weekend.
67.
In the poll, sorry. Yep. 67 in the poll.
It's tricky.
Right, and then Turkington from there is 54 points back, sorry. 54. So he's effectively a perfect weekend away.
Yep.
Cook is on 2.22, so he's on...
Further 2 points back.
But in my mind, Camish, Turkington and Cook need the perfect 67 weekend.
Mm.
And, notwithstanding... Ingram, Mahill and Sutton need to score less than top 10s that weekend. It's just not going to happen. It's too big a gap. It's now a top three. And I would agree. I think it is between Hill and Ingram. I would agree. However, we are going to circus as Sutton's good at.
We are, but the car is nowhere near as good as it was last year. I think BMW in the hands of Hill, on its day, almost unbeatable.
Yeah, I agree.
And Ingram has held that consistency, and we know how strong that car is engine-wise.
Yeah.
Decent on the brakes as well. Okay, maybe he struggles a little bit through the corners, but it's consistent as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Whereas we've had times this season where the Ford has kind of let itself down a little bit, struggled in traffic.
Go on. I agree with you entirely, which makes it even more unlikely that Cambridge can turn it around from here, doesn't it?
Mathematically, it's still possible.
I think mathematically, Rob Huff can still win on 162 if he wins every single race and nobody else turns up. Yeah, I don't see it. It's a three-horse race now, in my mind. Neither Cambridge didn't capitalise enough at Knockhill when people were in strife.
No.
Cook, a little bit unlucky, to be fair, but that's how it goes. And Turkington has one good weekend, one bad weekend, one good weekend, one bad weekend.
Yep.
And not necessarily always his fault. I would add that in before the term fan club come after me. But,
how do you see the midfield panning out this weekend?
I mean, Vauxhall was strong. I mean, Aaron Taylor Smith took a podium here, and he's been very strong all year round. Every time I say Vauxhall will be rubbish, they're good. Every time I say they're good, they're there. So I'm going to say they will be there this weekend.
Vauxhall have a decent history at Donington.
They do.
They go well on the shorter national, and Taylor Smith went well here last year.
Yeah.
Double did okay as well. So I think it might be them at the top of the midfield drivers.
Are you counting Toyota as a midfield team? No, I think that Toyota will be top of it because Huff took a win here.
Yeah.
Moffat's taken a win here.
Yeah.
Albeit, okay, not necessarily at this
point. Yeah.
Butcher took a win here last year in the... It's quite strong here. He got a bit of luck with the Dan Lloyd stuff, fine, but he's still got to stay.
He was still up there running for the lead.
So, yeah, I think the Toyotas will be strong here. It will be the best of the rest this weekend. They may even sneak a couple of race wins. I'm not backing them in my predictions for that.
I thought about possibly backing Cook for like a race three.
Yeah,
but
I thought about Huff again.
I wasn't so sure.
Yeah, I thought about Huff for a race three because that seems to be what he seems to have really got his weekend tactics to a...
Yes, he does. Yeah,
to a fine art at the minute. The fact that he is seventh in the championship, I think, is testament to how well he's managed to get this season.
What weather are we looking at this weekend? Because I know where we are at the moment. I'm it's scheduled for rain on Saturday.
It's almost point the same because every time we are recording on the Tuesday.
On the Tuesday, it's well ahead of us at the moment, and the rain and the weather in the UK, should I say, is completely unpredictable. I wasn't expecting the rain shower that we had today, in all honesty. Did you have that here?
Car was wet when. Yes, we did.
Yes.
Being around lunchtime. According to BBC Weather, it's going to rain solidly from Thursday onwards, which means it's going to be bone dry. But Saturday, round qualifying is due to be wet, 38%. Okay. Sunday, it's due to rain from about 11 onwards, so it could be. And then in the afternoon, it's supposed to get seriously wet, which means it'll be bone dry and there'll be absolutely no problems.
Hot. I'd like to see a bit of weather in this weekend. I think it'll bring a bit more interest.
Yeah.
And it'll mix up the results a little bit.
I mean, last year it rained on both events, and I've never wanted to cut a touring car day short before, but by the end of the morning I was ready to go home. I was so wet and so cold. Then the afternoon did dry up and it was a lovely afternoon.
Yes, it was.
My gosh, it was.
I'm glad we stayed it out for the first round this year.
Oh, that was frustrating as well. Actually, I hope it doesn't rain, because we're not allowed to race in the rain at Donington because there's not enough drainage. Because
maybe they might have sorted that out by the time we get to that this weekend. Anyway, Prediction time.
Okie dokie. So, your pole sitter.
Pole sitter, I've gone for Turkington.
Yeah, okay.
I just have a funny feeling that he's got, of those top six, he's got the, second most amount of hybrid. He used it well at Knockhill, and I just think he might have that little edge this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going for Morgan on the basis that I think that the qualifying and the racing, if it's dry, will massively be affected by the hybrid because you've got so many options to use it.
Yeah.
Morgan does go quite well here. He's had a podium here last year.
He's gone quite well in qualifying.
Season. Yeah, and also his form has just taken a little bit of an upturn of late. So I think it'll be a BMW, and I think that the extra hybrid will put him on the front row.
Okay, that's fair enough. My first race winner I've gone for is Turkington. I think if he gets pole, he will convert it. I think the only thing that might come into significance is the weather.
Yeah.
I've
gone for Ingram. The car goes so well here. The engine's really good here. He's great at fighting his way through the field at Donington.
Yeah, I've gone for Ingram for one of my races as well.
Yeah.
And also Hill.
Yeah, I've gone for Hill. And I've also gone for Rowbottom, reverse grid.
I consider Rowbottom as well. It's that reverse grid area of those drivers that are going to be in that 7 to 11.
Yeah.
That I think, race three, they'd probably do it.
And I kind of think, again, his form has taken a slight upturn recently. And I'm almost thinking, it's got to happen soon, hasn't it? a win this season. Jack Sears, I think it's basically to the end of the season now, isn't it? It's double, isn't it?
It's got to be double. Osborne had a fantastic outing last time at Knockhill, but I just don't see him doing much more than that.
No, I don't think it's the sort of circuit that suits him at Donington anyway. Okay, general predictions then. My first one is that all four of the top four
Go on.
Will miss the Fast Six qualifying.
Oh, interesting.
So for clarity, that will be Ingram, Hill, Sutton, and it's Camish. All four of them will miss the top six qualifying.
That's fair enough. I'm going to go with my qualifying one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for Moffitt out in Q1 again. He's only made it through once this season, and he just has this knack of missing out.
A Moffitt pole would make me so happy. I think if Moffitt gets the pole, you should lose a point.
No, I think so.
No. Okay, next prediction for me is that three or more drivers will not score points this weekend.
Okay.
I really think that Knockhill is short enough and crazy enough that everybody can score points and did score points.
Even with the possible weather?
Yeah, I think Donington will separate the men from the boys, as it were. And I think that there are, without naming names...
I can't wait for the weather to throw up something completely random, like when Nick Hamilton had that six.
Yeah, quite possibly, but I think that there is... This is a difficult enough circuit that I think that those who... I'm not quite at it. I'm not naming names.
I think you could be in the doo-doo if we get a mixed race.
Very much so. But it's a big if.
It is, yeah.
All these predictions could be in the doo-doo.
I know.
As I think I can name a couple of drivers I'd expect to be off it this weekend. And I think I can say they won't score points.
So, I'm going for... Bearing in mind we haven't had an announcement made on this side of things. Mm-hmm. We've obviously spoken about Pearson not continuing the rest of the season. In that same statement, Accelerate said they were going to be announcing another driver Wednesday, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm going for this driver to score points this weekend. I don't know who it is. It is a bonkers one.
That is so brave. In the context of the predictions being so close.
Because, I know.
Because with respect, that could be anybody from...
Yeah.
Well, it might be Max Verstappen. But if anybody from sort of... Yeah, that ends to...
I'm sticking my flag down and I'm going to go for that driver will score points this weekend.
Pastor Maldonado. Pastor Maldonado.
Go on then.
That is bold. My final prediction is that both Toyota teams will get a podium this weekend. So that'll be a podium for both the Starline, LKQ with Eurocar parts and everything else.
One of Huff and Watson and one of Cook and...
I mean, it'll be Cook and Huff. But I'm not going that far, but it will be Cook and Huff. Both enough. Get a podium.
And my final one is I'm going for the championship leader will change going into Silverstone. So Ingram, as you mentioned, has a 3-point lead currently over Jake Hill. And I think we will have a different leader.
See, I think that's quite bold.
At the end of the weekend.
How well Ingram goes around here, I think that is quite bold. Okay.
We'll see.
General this week, we've really struggled with because you're not going.
I'm not, unfortunately. Money has dictated that, unfortunately, I can't go.
And I'm away.
Our troubles have been main.
Yeah, and I'm away.
Yep.
Therefore, we've really struggled. We can't really do the prices right. We can't really do advert bingo. We did safety car last weekend. We did hairpin overtakes last year.
Yep.
So we tried to keep it different. So we've actually, both of us very much like football.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, for better or for worse, each year fight each other in the fantasy football league. And as such, we decided we're going to do a bit of a fantasy British touring car this weekend.
Yep.
So we're going to pick one of the drivers from the top six,
yep,
a midfield driver, which is basically everybody else who isn't in the top six.
One of the eight that aren't in the Jack Sears.
Yep. And then a driver from the Jack Sears pool.
Yep.
Now, I will allow, because we don't know who that replacement Pearson's going to be,
mm-hmm,
you to change your Jack Sears for this to that driver once the announcement's made, if you so wish.
Okay.
That can happen.
Right, I understand that.
Because they might not be a Jack Sears contender.
That is true.
Yeah.
Who is your top six driver,
Ingram,
first of all? Ingram?
Yeah, the Ingram goes so well here. And I'm going for Ingram to be... Yeah.
I'm going for Turkington.
Yeah, I can see it.
I just have this feeling with the amount of hybrid that he's got this weekend.
Yep.
Weather could still play a part. If it's dry, I think he'll possibly take a pole, take a win, and then he'll be there or thereabouts for race two, and just have a really decent weekend.
I just wonder where his mojo is at the minute, because he's had a bruising season, and he'll know it's not over till it's over, but he's a realist, and he'll know that he's very much, pretty much out of this championship fight. And Team Orders will come into play, you'd imagine, if he needs to.
They could well do.
Midfield driver, I've gone for Rowbottom.
I toyed with Rowbottom as well.
Yeah, I think he's probably he or Chilton for me are the strongest of the eight.
I forgot about Chilton in all honesty. I know Chilton's had such a good qualifying season this year, but I've actually gone for Aaron Taylor Smith.
Yeah, solid.
And he just seems to go well. And as I said earlier, the Vauxhall goes well at Donington, so I think he may be the driver to come out on top in that midfield group.
Yep, and then we've both gone for Dobble from the Jack Sears.
Yep.
Again, that might change depending on who is announced at Accelerate. In terms of scoring, it's just going to be straight between the top six and the midfield, how many points they score in the general championship added up, and then the Jack Sears driver will be the amount of points they score within the Jack Sears championship. Add it all together. Whoever gets the highest number wins the point. If it goes deadlock, then, I don't know, we disband, I don't know.
Point each, no points each. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of fun. If you want to join in on that, let us know in the comments below who your three drivers would be. Also, let us know the rest of your predictions, who's going to win races this weekend, who's going to be on pole, who you think should replace Pearson going forward, possibly for the rest of the season, or even next year as well. Let us know if you're going. I will be watching on the sofa. You will be on a ship.
No, I think I'm in Holland that day.
You're in Holland that day, okay. Russ is disbanded, he's going away because he doesn't actually care that much.
No, it's just a hobby for me.
But we hope you all stay safe, have a good weekend, and we will be back again for a review, hopefully on Tuesday. I thought we might as well record A little bit. I know the sound normally comes out fine, but there may be one day that it doesn't and we'll regret it.
Yeah, okay. That is true.
Oh.
Have
you got screenshots of the predictions on your phone? Just so I can actually remember what mine are.
Yes.
Lovely.
I've got the table, picture the table on my phone ready.
Perfect, good.
Because you've done them in advance, I was able to put them in the laptop in advance, we didn't have to waste any time.
What did you think of mine?
Yeah, I struggled this weekend for predictions.
Did you?
Yeah, I really did.
I didn't, I was able to just bang them out.
I think I'm also struggling on the basis that, obviously I'm not going to be watching, or so it's quite difficult to quite get into the headspace of it this weekend, knowing I'm not going to be watching any of it.
Fair enough.
Or very unlikely to be watching any of it. As I think we're in Amsterdam that day, so
it's hard life.
Yeah, go find a sports bar, turn off the Ajax game, make find ITV4. What is this? That's not a very good Dutch accent.
All right, Steve.
Steve. Oh yeah,
McLaren.
Yeah.